This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It has become our new Meadow Creek Parkway. The water supply plan has folks taken sides and arguing and debating, and we have discussed it for quite some time on this program. Of course, it's been a while, and we've asked former city councilor Kevin Lynch to come in and share his perspective and give us an update from where he sits. And I know there are people who disagree with Kevin's take on it. You sent me a bunch of emails yesterday just knowing he was coming on. So as I said in my emails, please join the conversation. 977-1070 is the phone number for the discussion. And we would love to hear from you. Kevin, thank you for coming in. I know that you've been out of town.
Yeah.
Have you been on a boat?
Been doing a little fishing.
That sounds like so much fun.
It's been fun.
Oh, gosh. Now, what did you catch?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. As far as eating-wise, grouper, snapper, but lots of just a lot of fish.
Wow. Where were you?
In Florida.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
oh,
I bet jacks, ladyfish.
Oh, I bet it was beautiful.
Lots of trash fish.
There you go. Well, welcome back. And in this hour, we're going to talk about the 50-year water supply plan. Your take on the process, I guess, is what interests me most.
Mm-hmm.
Is how are these decisions made? How are they implemented? How did we find ourselves in the situation today where, you know, there are so many people, whether elected or appointed on boards, who are absolutely committed to this plan, which some say isn't even a plan, it's a concept. And then there's others, some formerly elected folks like yourself, Rob Schilling, Kendra Hamilton, who've come out very much against the plan. And of course, a bunch of citizens as well who say this is just has gone off the rails a long time ago. We need to go back to the drawing board. We need to stop and regroup. This is going to cost us way too much money. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars, and we don't even really have a plan yet. That's one contention. I want to talk about that, but let's first, the elephant in the room, of course, is this white light thing. Let's do that first and get it out of the way, because personally, I feel like that's not the huge issue, but let's go ahead and talk about it, because it's made some news. You brought attention to it. Set the stage for us first. This was a meeting of the Albemarle County Service Authority Board, is that right? And
yeah,
when was this?
The Service Authority Board met the end of last month to discuss a request for a dredging RFP that the city, at the request of the city and the service authority and the county, the city put together a draft of the of what they'd like to see in an RFP with the help of staff from Ravana. Then the city added their own comments.
RFP, of course, request for
proposal.
Yeah,
to actually go out and scope the dredging work to find out how much sediment is in there, to do the geotech analysis, to analyze where is the best place to put it, and really get a more accurate cost on what it will really take to get the sediment that's in the reservoir out and restore it back to its normal capacity.
And by way of a backstory, when you say a more accurate cost, the only number we have right now is what, $200 million?
And the latest, I think, was $224 million, a number that we now know is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And widely acknowledged to be ridiculous, and council says, hey, this is city money that we're spending. Every city resident is going to pay for this, and it's going to be hugely expensive. And we're not going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars on such blatantly faulty information. And they requested that their supposed partners in this endeavor, the county and the service authority, support them in going back and analyzing what it would really take to restore the reservoir, because that's a lot of capacity we have in the reservoir.
Yeah. And the claim that you and some other folks have made is it was that faulty estimate on dredging years ago by Gannett Fleming that sort of pointed us in the direction of this new dam and this new reservoir.
Absolutely, because when you talk about the process, it's been unfolding for a long time. And originally, the plan that was approved, the plan that the ratepayers are paying for right now, that was approved in 2002, and that included dredging of the reservoir. And we, as elected officials, told the public, we are going to raise your rates. You're going to pay more because here's our plan, and we think it will accomplish an additional water supply that will keep us going for at least the next 30 years, cost $30 million. I believe that when elected officials raise the price of an essential service like water or anything, really, raise taxes, we have an obligation to make sure that that money is spent on the purposes for which it was intended. But what's happened was is that shortly thereafter, while Ravana started collecting the money, Gannett Fleming came along and said, you know, that dredging is going to be way, 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 way more expensive than you all think. We're going to have to take that one off the table. And we did. We said, we believed them. We said, okay, that's wow, that's a lot more than we thought it would be. It's only very recently when actual dredging companies came to us after the fact and said, hey, wait a minute, you know, we came to Ravana and said we could do it for much less, and Ravana told us to take a hike. As a former public official, that raised alarm bells with me, and I said, well, you know, hold on a minute. You mean we had an inexpensive plan which we passed over because of bad information? That just doesn't fly. That should not fly in this community.
We're talking with former city councilor Kevin Lynch, and of course you, Kendra Hamilton, and Rob Schilling, three former members of city council, have since come out and said that you felt duped. All three of you
Absolutely.
Felt like you were given faulty information.
Absolutely. Not only that, but we were asking them specifically to go out and get more information on dredging. And dredging contractors were coming to them with proposals that they were burying and keeping away from the public officials. I mean, I think that's reprehensible.
And so this meeting that took place recently, the Albemarle County Service Authority Board, mm-hmm. This is not an elected board, right?
It's not an elected board. It's appointed by the Board of Supervisors.
Okay, and it's a county body. It's not a, mm-hmm. it's not, there's no... It,
supposedly, they represent the county ratepayers, although only half of the members of that board actually pay a water bill. And ironically, it's the ones that don't pay the water bill that are the most vociferous... proponents of this overly expensive plan, and I think the most unhinged when it comes to defending the most indefensible parts of that.
Yeah. Now, there was some at this meeting, which was held recently, and we want to get your thoughts on the meeting. I've listened to the audio, and we had some of it for you. Very, very interesting. The folks at the meeting were reacting to the city's wishes to dredge that reservoir and to look into dredging the reservoir. Is that right?
Yeah, well, I'd say they were reacting to the city's desire to look into dredging the reservoir. And what you hear on the tape, and I certainly would recommend any member that's or anybody who's listening in the audience, really go check that tape out. It's only 45 minutes long, and it's just fascinating the picture that you'll get of who's in control of the Albemarle County Service Authority. It's really quite disturbing, but at the same time, it's informative.
Yeah.
They're so afraid of even looking at the issue. That they're willing to, really, they have like a reality distortion field that they're surrounding themselves to protect this precarious plan.
I will tell you, I listened to every minute of the meeting, and personally, speaking for nobody but myself here, I was struck at how incredibly dismissive some of those folks were towards the city, and specifically towards city councilors, Mayor Dave Norris, anybody who questions this plan, basically. Very dismissive, bordering on contempt, really.
I would say it was contemptuous, and really, people out there listening, check out this tape. It's really fascinating that a group of appointed individuals could be so dismissive of a democratically elected body, as if, you know, at one point they're ridiculing the city's council's desire to get the lowest cost water plan, like that's some sort of illegitimate goal. It's if it weren't so disturbing, it would be fascinating.
And at one point, let's go ahead and do this before we have to break at the bottom of the hour, and we're going to continue this discussion in the next half hour, and we invite you to join the conversation at 977-1070 and give your thoughts on the matter. At the meeting, Don Wagner, who's a member of the board, referenced the money spent on studying dredging,
mm-hmm.
and there's some disagreement about from folks... some folks who were there and some folks who, who've listened to the tape, which was made, we should point out, Sean Tubbs made with Charlottesville Tomorrow, made the audio recording, and it's available at seavilletomorrow.org. He made reference to this kind of spending is like, he said, well, let's play it. We'll play it.
Let the public decide.
Yeah, we'll just let. And the controversy is, did he say Obama light or Obama white? And folks are disagreeing on that. And like I said at the beginning of this conversation, I'm not really hung up on this.
Right, and I agree. You know, it's really the fact that he said anything at all is just completely inappropriate.
So we'll listen to that, and then we'll listen to a slowed down version and just let folks decide.
Mm-hmm. It comes from, it's Obama money, Obama white money. It's good that you get it back to your grandchildren. So, you know, with respect.
Okay. Now, there's some folks at the meeting who've said, I heard him say Obama light. You've listened to the tape. Other folks have listened to the tape and said, I think he said Obama white. And just to sort of clear it up, I am of a definite opinion that I think he said white. But let's listen to the slowed down version.
Yeah, I think when you slow it down, it's just...
And we'll just let people decide for themselves. This is the slowed down version excerpt.
Obama white money.
That's the, there it is. One, and we'll do that one more time.
Obama white money.
And that's just the excerpt there. But what is white money anyway?
I think it's self... Well, it's a...
And what was he saying, whether it was light or white?
The term white money is a slur to describe taxed money. And I think...
Sort of an urban slang for taxed money. Yeah.
Well, it's you know, I think it's... It's uneducated slang for tax money. I think okay. The connotations of that, the negative connotations of that, I think are reprehensible. Having said that, I agree with you that that really isn't the point. I mean, just the fact that most of the board was unclear on where the money was coming from, that's really the worst part. There was really only one person in that room, the guy from Scottsville, who said, wait a minute, I thought we have $300,000 in a fund already to do this study, which they do. But the rest of them didn't know that and instead had this long argument about where the money's coming from. That means, you know, that's not just inappropriate language. It's inappropriate preparation. It's really an unbecoming presentation of how to conduct oneself on a board. There was really that's another thing that people will hear if they take the time to listen to the whole tape, is it appears that there's really only one person on that whole board who comes to the board with factual information. The rest of them just bring their opinions.
So who is that?
That was the gentleman from Scottsville, Jim, and I don't want to mispronounce his last name. I have to say, don't agree with him on everything. I'm sure he doesn't agree with me on everything, but I respect him for trying to pull that conversation out of the gutter several times. And unsuccessfully, unfortunately, because there was it was a 3-to-1 effort.
Yeah, we're talking with former city councilor Kevin Lynch about the water supply plan. Greg is on line one. Greg, thanks for the call. You're on with Kevin. You go right ahead.
Hey, Kevin. Nice to meet you. I live out here in Albemarle County, and you know, water's always going to be an issue. And in my opinion, we're spending too much time on this study. And when Roy Bailey owned a big farm out there in Freeunion, his land was condemned years ago for a reservoir, and I know the Army Corps of Engineers said they got some kind of spiny mussel or something that's issue in the creek, but looked like you'd go back to the Corps and say, hey, we need a source of water, and the money we've been spending studying, we could be digging a reservoir.
That's a good point, Greg. And the thing is that this plan has taken so many twists and turns. You know, we started, before I even got on council, it was in the late 90s, we were talking about Buck Mountain Reservoir. And that's what money was taken from the ratepayers then to start building up this area of land where we could build that reservoir.
That was supposed to be a whole new reservoir at the foot of the mountains. Yeah.
In fact, I think it's interesting that the Department of Health, now they're the ones that are telling us where the clean drinking water was or is. They've been the only ones to object to this current plan because, according to the Department of Health, the cleanest water in our system is from the Mormons River, which we're getting right now, and they said this, your second best source would be Buck Mountain, so don't give those sources up. That's your clean water. We did have a lot of discussion in the late 90s, again, before I got on council, but I would go to the League of Women Voters meetings, and the big focus then was, before we build new infrastructure, let's work on maintaining the infrastructure that we already have.
I.e. dredge what we got.
Yeah, dredge and take care of the reservoir and see what we can do. At the time, we were wasting a lot of water.
Yeah.
And I think we should commend the citizens of this region for actually cutting back to what's more than the national norm of water usage and reducing our water usage a lot. We've reduced our consumption by about 1 million gallons a day since where we were 10 years ago, and we were projected, that's in the face of increasing population. Originally, we were projected to be using 1 million gallons a day more than what we were using.
So we got more people living here, and more people still using less water.
Yeah, so in effect, the citizens, by installing low-flow toilets and just being more generally careful about water usage, we've built the equivalent of about a half a billion gallon reservoir, almost the size of the one at Sugar Hollow, just by being careful of our water usage and installing low flow.
Just appliances. As the culture gets more green,
as the culture gets more, you know, aware, self-aware.
Yeah.
And so while, you know, the actual service authority and the Ravana has really done nothing, the community has done something, and we've done the equivalent of building a new reservoir.
We're talking with former city councilor Kevin Lynch. Greg, thank you so much for the call. We're going to take a break for local news and weather and continue this conversation on the other side. When we get back, we'll hear from Kevin, his reaction to complaints that he's just all wrong on this issue and his facts are wrong. And even if you dredge the reservoir, it's still not going to give you the water you need. All that coming up. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
67 degrees at 37 minutes after the hour of 4 p.m. in Central Virginia. I'm Coy Barefoot. This is Charlottesville Right Now. News Radio 1070 WINA. Hope you're having a nice Tuesday afternoon. Brian Wheeler will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. A little growth and development. Chip Harding, Albemarle County Sheriff, my guest tomorrow, live in studio. Kevin Lynch is a former member of Charlottesville City Councilor, along with Kendra Hamilton and Rob Schilling, also former members that he served with. They have come out opposed to the water supply plan that they once supported, claiming that they did not have all the right information. Kevin, talk a little bit about this whole idea of plan versus concept and how we got to where we are. And you've claimed that this is a fragile plan and that the folks who really know all about it, you know, this projected 50-year water supply plan that know all the details, they don't want people to know all the details because there's not much there. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. You know, it was over a year ago that we established, I think fairly conclusively, that the previous estimates for dredging were wildly overblown and that dredging was much, much cheaper than had ever been told to the public. But that's not really the reason we're here right now with the dredging proposal that council's putting forward. The real reason that council's, put reasons into council, but I think part of what caused everyone to act is that there are so many holes in the existing plan. The existing plan originally contemplated building a $37 million new dam up at Ragged Mountain. And then
Cut down some trees, make a bigger bathtub, that kind of thing.
Yeah, a couple hundred acres of trees and expand the bathtub. But because there's no ability to fill from that area, watershed's too small, they would build a new pipeline from South Fork Reservoir, $57 million. And because that water is very silty, and they wanted to get that sediment out, they would not just build a pipeline, but a whole series of settling ponds, which, you know, tens of millions of dollars to build this infrastructure. And then, of course, it would have to be pumped 300 feet uphill and
from the Ravana to the new
South Fork to Ragged Mountain, rather than flowing downhill from a clean source,
right,
which it does now. It would have to be taken from a dirty source, cleaned up,
and then pumped uphill.
And they said, well, the total cost of all this was going to be about $90 million total. And that was a lot, but it's a manageable lot.
And that was the number that you and other folks used to make your decision.
That's right.
When you compare that versus $200 million.
Right, $90 million versus $200 million, most people will take the $90 million.
Yeah.
Now, we since found out dredging contractors are coming to us and saying, wait a minute, we told them we could do it for $20 million. 5 years ago, they can still do it for pretty close to that. So that number one, that was, you know, that information was false. But even then, even since then, we've recently found out that the first piece of this plan, the official plan, the dam, is not going to be $37 million. It's going to be a minimum of $85 million. Now, they're scrambling right now to have value engineering done on the dam and figure out, well, maybe we can cost reduce that and bring it down some. But there's no way that they're going to get that thing done for even double what they thought it could get done for. The other piece, the fragile piece, is the pipeline itself. Because as we started looking into the pipeline design, we found there was no design. And all of a sudden, Ravana kept, you know, they started saying that, well, it's not fair to criticize it as a design. It's really a concept. We don't really have a design. And so I'm saying, wait a minute. You know, you're saying we're going to have this water plan where we build a $90 million dam. And we don't build a pipeline to fill it for another 15 years, but you really haven't worked that out yet. It's just a concept, and there's all kinds of problems with the concept. Their concept was that they were going to put the pipeline in the right-of-way for the 29 bypass, which, if you ever thought there's going to be a 29 bypass, probably makes sense to do. But that's not anything close to a certainty. So what's the backup plan if there's no bypass? Well, it could be done. You could condemn private property. You can either go swing residential to the west, or you could swing commercial to the east and tear all that up. Or you could come right down the the streets, and you could do that. But it isn't going to be free. And they assumed that they would put it in the bypass right away, and it would be free. So come on, that's not a realistic assumption. But it's not one that Ravana wants to talk about.
What do you think this is going to cost, based on what we know now? At the end of the day, the 50-year water supply plan that's advocated by its proponents, who really want to see this, they want to start building that dam this winter. What's the final price tag at the end of the day, you think, what we're looking at?
I'd say easily $200 million by the time everything's said and done. And the thing is it would be...
And the ratepayers pay for that.
Oh, right? Absolutely.
In the city and the county.
Absolutely.
If you're on public water, you pay for this.
And it would be foolhardy to build the dam before you have the pipeline design locked down, not just as some concept, but... Think about it. Would you, if you're a private company or anyone spending their own money, would you go off and build, let's say, a factory in a landlocked parcel somewhere where there's no road to it, and say, "Ah, don't worry about it. You know, in 15 years, we'll build a road. You know, we'll just go and invest a bunch of money." Or would you build a foundation for a house and say, "Ah, you know, 10 years from now, we'll get the roof on. Don't worry about it."
So, what is your take? We're talking with Kevin Lynch. We invite you to join the conversation 977-1070. What is your opinion as to why the folks who really believe in this plan, because there's very sensible, smart people on both sides of this issue, and I talk to both sides all the time. What's your take on why they're absolutely so committed to this? And in this meeting, folks like Liz Palmer say, you know, the goal is to stay on track. We're going to do this plan. We've already agreed to it. This is what we're going to do. We're moving forward. It's going to happen. And then, you know, you sit down with folks like you who say, this plan is full of holes, it costs a fortune, people's rates are going to go through the roof, doesn't make any sense. Why then do you see that the other side on this issue is so committed to it?
Well, I think a big chunk of that is groupthink. I mean, you see the same thing in the run-up to the Iraq War. You know, everybody has reservations, but no one really wanted to say, you know, wait a minute, is this really a good idea? How well do we really know this stuff? Because when you put yourself out there as saying, hold on a minute, I think this is wrong, then you find yourself in a position like I and others do, where people get defensive, and so you better be prepared to really know your material. And frankly, a lot of those folks do not know their material. That's part of the problem.
They say the same thing about you.
Yeah, well, I'll let the public be the judge on that. And again, if the public's listening, please go to the Charlottesville tomorrow, listen to that last board tape. You be the judge. You're the public. You're the ones who vote for the Board of Supervisors. Now, the people on the Albemarle Service Authority, they are not voted for by anybody, but they're appointed by Board of Supervisor members. Those supervisor members are up for election. The voters have an accountability moment here, and I think it needs to be exercised. But going back, it's not just groupthink. I think there's a lot of self-interest. It's self-interest working against the interest of the ratepayers that you see right here.
And explain that. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's a lot of different self-interest. I think some in the development community would like to see so much water. When we talk about the plan, the 50-year plan, it's not a plan so that we'll have water for 50 years. We could just maintain our resources that we have now, and we'll have plenty of water for the next 50 years. It's so that we can continue to grow at the rate that we were growing in the 90s for the next 50 years, and not only not have to conserve water, but so that we could roll back to our existing wasteful ways of the 90s, grow at that rate, and have enough for the next 50 years of unconstrained growth. Now, no matter how you feel about the growth issue, and I think there's legitimate positions on both sides, I I feel like existing residents should not subsidize that. And, you know, Don Wagner has said many times, well, growth pays for itself. No, it doesn't. Maybe if you're a developer, growth pays for itself. But if you're average Charlottesville, Albemarle ratepayer or taxpayer, you pay for growth most of the time. And that's what I object to, is that this would, in effect, be a huge subsidy for the next 50 years' worth of development. Now, the reason that some of the so-called environmentalists are okay with that is because part of the bargain here is that all of that growth happens in the urban area and out of their backyard. So that's another piece of it. Developers get what they want. The people who live in Western Albemarle County get what they want. And
they keep a reservoir out of their
they keep a reservoir, and they, you know, they keep the development out of their area, and we get the development and we pick up the tab for it. I don't think that's a good deal for the city.
We're talking with former city councilor Kevin Lynch. Phone lines are open at 977-1070. Kevin, what's your reaction to the folks who say that even if you dredge that darn reservoir, you're not going to get the water you need? And I hear that all the time from people saying they could dredge, you know, from now till Sunday, and they're just not going to get the water they need to meet this 50-year plan.
We're not going to get the water that we need to turn Charlottesville into the next Richmond, if that's your goal. The reservoir can't do that. What the reservoir can do is provide us plenty of water for probably the next 50 years if we grow at a sustainable rate and if we manage our existing water use, if we continue to conserve, if we grow at the projected rate which the VEC thinks we're going to grow and in accordance with our comprehensive plan and not with some, you know, some supervisors have said, well, what if we grow even faster? What if our comp plan is wrong and even more people come into the urban area? And I would say, well, then you change your comprehensive plan and you put that up to the voters and say, everybody okay with that? All you people living in the county urban ring, we're going to double our density. You guys ready for that? You're going to vote for us if we do that? You do it that way. And then if you decide you go and you want more water, you do it in an open and a transparent way. And you don't have some sort of backdoor way of getting us all to pay for this growth, more growth than our official estimates say we're ever going to have. It is true that the reservoir by itself doesn't get us enough water for 50 years of continued growth. But what it can give us is, first of all, and combined with conservation, give us well over 30 years of the growth at the trajectory that we're growing on now. And I think that rather than plan out for, you know, 50 years of growth, and if you wanted to, you can add additional things to that. You know, Mayor Norris has suggested that you could repair the Ragged Mountain Dam and bring it up to 13 feet, which would be how high you could raise it if you repaired it in its existing position.
Sure, would have been a lot cheaper just to repair what we had.
Would have been a lot cheaper. In fact, you know, we talked about that back when I was on council.
What I've always wondered. Why didn't we just fix what we had?
Back then, they said it would be about a little under $8 million to replace, repair Ragged Mountain Dam and raise it 13 feet. Would have added about another, I think, you know, half a billion gallons.
And then repair the pipeline from Sugar Hollow.
Right, yeah. Right. This unfortunately is a culture in which maintenance and sustainability are not valued. It's a throw it away, build something better, build something bigger, and let the ratepayers pay for it mentality. I don't abide by that.
We're talking with Kevin Lynch about the water supply plan, former city councilor. Gene waiting patiently on line one. Gene, thanks for holding. You're on with Kevin. You go right ahead.
Hey, thank you. I'm a county resident, and I'm a landlord. I think the service authority is a runaway train, and just a little bit what I'm talking about is residents that rent properties from me, they go to service authority and get water turned on for the apartment, and if they leave and don't pay the bill, I have to pay it. Now, the service authority does not give me authority to cut the water off. They don't notify me in a length of time that I can approach the residents that, you know, they are in arrears. So, and I think there has to be something done to control this whole authority. I've been to my county authorities, and they just don't give me any help at all.
Gene, thank you so much for the call. I appreciate it. And, well, Kevin, this it really speaks to the issue you were talking about earlier. One of the concerns that you and others have had is sort of this process of, you know, who are these people?
I absolutely agree with Gene. There's no accountability with these folks. And it was really quite shocking to me because being a city councilor, honestly, I didn't focus that much on what was happening with the service authority other than our dealings with them, which were, you know, mostly cordial at that time. But actually looking in now is, you know, who does control these folks? And it looks like nobody. It looks like they barely have control over themselves. But in theory, the Board of Supervisors does pick each of them a service authority member, and a number of Board of Supervisors are up for election. That's where the accountable moment is, I'm afraid, and I think that's going to have to be exercised. One of the things that's fascinating to me is the gentleman Don Wagner, who's the chair and who made this, probably, I wouldn't say the controversial comment, I'd say the most of many, maybe the most succinct controversial comment, but certainly not the the worst one. He's been on there for, I think, 24, 25 years is what was reported on the news the other night. That's during the term of three different supervisors of different political parties. How does a person get reappointed to the same board for 25 years? That's baffling to me.
We're talking with Kevin Lynch, and let's go to the phones. Howard, is that you on line one?
It is me again.
Hey, Howard, thanks for the call. You go right ahead.
Hey, look, Kevin, you were saying earlier that you thought the most disturbing comments at that meeting, and I did listen to the tape, were about not knowing where the money was coming from, and, of course, Mr. Wagner's comments. But I actually thought Liz Palmer's comments were the most disturbing.
Oh, I agree.
When she was saying that it won't just end with this study, the meaning being if we could agree to do the study and then they would just shut up and go away, then we'd be glad to do the study. But there's no sense that anybody cares what the outcome would be or what the truth might be. It's just they've got this preconceived notion, and they're on the train, and that's where they're going.
I agree. I think that the that particular comment, you know, it won't end there. Then they might actually want to dredge. What if we find out that it is cheaper? That was like a fearful idea to them. That's really reprehensible. Actually, when you said that it was Liz's comments that were the most reprehensible, I was about to agree with you, but I thought you were talking about the ones at the end where, you know, they're really quite overtly plotting on how to stall the process, putting language in their resolution that they know the city won't agree with, and just saying that, oh, they'll never agree to that. Ha, yeah, exactly. Get it in there. And then, you know, comment, they'll never agree to that because their goal is to get the cheapest water. So, you know, that's like that was some kind of a stick that they could use against them as opposed to a worthy goal. You know, water is an important priority, and it's something that we need to make sure that we have, but it's not our only priority. It's not, I don't even think, our most important priority, particularly when we're doing such a good job as a community of conserving water already. If you want to look to something that we're not doing so well, look at something like the high school dropout rate. You know, there's all kinds of things that we could really spend some more focus on. But this shrill attitude about just grabbing as much water we can get at all at any cost thinking that's the top priority, that's just misplaced priority.
Phone lines are open. Howard, thank you so much for the call. Always look forward to hearing from you. And let's go back to the phones. Dave is on line one. Oh, we lost Dave. You with us? Hello. This is Greg on three. Greg, go ahead.
Hey, this is Greg. Hey, I don't see the water situation shouldn't fall on the taxpayers' back so that, you know, future developers make a lot of money. I'm not against development, but I think the thing to do is dig a new hole up there in Free Union and let a private company do it, and then they sell the water to the citizens, so to, you know, regulate it like a utility, and we don't put the money up. Just put the land up.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, Greg, because if Ravana were a regulated utility, there's no way they could get away with overcharging the residents to the level that they have been. You know, for the past almost 7 or 8 years now, Ravana's been overcharging residents to the tune of now where it's 25% of your bill that you pay to Ravana is going into what they call their reserve fund, 25%. And they're sitting on almost getting up to $30 million There's no, you know, a private company like Dominion Power, state regulators would never let them rack up that kind of profit and sock away that amount of cash every year. But here it is, unaccountable authority putting away 25% cash every year for a plan which changes by the moment, and I think very little public accountability has gone into.
Greg, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. We've been talking with Kevin Lynch, former city councilor. So we got about a minute or two left. Where do you go from here? I mean, folks obviously know where you stand on the issue. There's a lot of, and I'll say it, there's a lot of very smart folks on the other side of the issue who are believe just as much that they are in the right, that they've got the plan that will work, that this region needs, and that we need to move forward and just make it happen. And yes, it's going to cost a lot of money to the ratepayers, but that's just the price we have to pay.
Well, I think the public needs to pay attention to this, listen to the last service authority meeting, and get involved. I really believe that half of that Albemarle County Service Authority needs to resign. They're an embarrassment to the county. They're an embarrassment to any decent person who lives in this region. And I think the only way that's going to happen is when regular folks just start paying attention and realizing how much is this going to kick them in the pocketbook and start demanding some accountability from the Board of Supervisors.
Former City Councilor Kevin Lynch. Kevin, thanks for being here, and thanks for all the calls. We're going to break for CBS News, local news and weather. We're back with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.